Father, we thank you for your Spirit's presence here, where two or three are gathered, and I think we qualify. Lord, I thank you that you are here among us. That really is kind of an awesome thought, that you are here among us. Your Spirit is moving among us, from person to person, indwelling those who believe, moving around those who may be hanging on the fence, maybe haven't really crossed that line of belief. But your Spirit is here, speaking to each one of us. And Lord, I pray as we look into your Word and as we read the words that you have inspired, that we would hear what you have for us. Maybe a different message that's being preached, that you're sharing it personally with us. Might be one particular verse that just drives it home. Lord, I pray that you use that verse to bring us into your kingdom, to make us more like you. Lord, we pray now that you would fill us, renew us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, across the country, our sermons about Mother's Day. And we're going to talk about moms, but maybe not exactly the way you think that we're going to talk about moms. I'm always a rebel in that case. I don't know exactly why, but I like to make things fresh, I guess. And most preachers are going to preach out of Proverbs 31, which I'll touch on, but I'm not really going to preach out of it. There's so many other proverbs, and with the world the way it is, you know, there's a lot of things tugging on women and moms, and it's not good. And we find that when you watch the programs on TV and listen to some of the things that are announced and shared about, and you know all the I don't know what to call it, the trending and everything else, that, you know, husbands basically are stupid, that men don't know which end to, you know, they're just not with it. In fact, some programs even go as far as the parents are stupid and the kids really know everything and have it all under control. And you know, maybe with technology they might, but, you know, that's not the case. I remember sharing with Jonathan many times. I said, how old are you? And how old am I? And how much have I lived? And how long have I driven a car? And how long, you know, all those things that they kind of get, oh, okay, well, whatever. You know, when it comes to the world and women and moms, you know, the world proposes its philosophy. And a lot of it is pretty good. I mean, you know, it proposes equality, and that's great. It's scriptural that men and women have been created in the image of God, and that's scriptural. But then they go so far. Women, you know, the pendulum swings way over. And then not only is it the equality thing, but then now it's, we can do everything you can do. Well, okay, but there's physiological differences, and we all know that. In fact, it's a known physiological difference that men have thicker skulls than women. Now, you might look at that and say, well, that's why they're so dense, you know. That's not the case. You know, they were warriors. They were out there hunting. They were the guys to protect the wives and such. And, you know, there was a lot of banging around and things, and might get smacked in the head, other than the what do you call it, the rolling pin. You know, they might get whacked in the head and they could take it. Whereas, you know, women are a little more delicate and they don't have, you know, they got to take calcium later on in life. You know, most of you know that. Most of you ladies know that. Got to take that calcium. Men don't have to. In fact, they say don't take calcium for the men because our bones already have that. And they're stronger. They're more whatever. It's thicker. You know, and so that's the differences. We should celebrate those differences. But the world's influence and the world's philosophies are trying to pull us apart rather than bring us together. Now, we're going to look at the scriptures, and I want us to understand that in the scriptures, that's where the truth is. And that's where we need to go to find what God says about men and women and the situation between us. Now, let's go to 9:57. We're going to be in Proverbs throughout this time. 9:57, Proverbs 16, in your pew Bible, 16:25. And the scriptures are very clear, and Proverbs is such a great book in the Bible, Solomon writing down his wisdom that God had given him. Verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." So, you know, we may think we have it all together. We may think that we know it all, you know, especially if you're a teenager. You think you know it all. You think you got it all together, but there is a way that, you know, we think, and it leads to death. It's not the right way. And so Scripture is the guiding factor. That's where we need to go. In chapter 19 of Proverbs, let's turn to that, 19 and verse 20, it tells us similar to that. Verse 20, it says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you'll be wise." Well, I hope and pray that all of us here want to be wise. I hope that we all do. I don't know too many people that go around and, "I want to be the stupidest person in the whole world." Did anybody think that? I don't think anybody wants that. I think we all want to be wise. We want to be smart. We want to look good. You know, no, none of us want to look like an idiot. And so the way you do that is to accept instruction. Accept instruction. Listen to advice. Listen to the advice of God's Word. Because that's where you're going to get it. And so instead of listening to the world, listen to God. Seek Him. His truth. Now, I'm going to share some scriptures that aren't as complimentary to wives and moms. But I want us to read them because a lot of times we avoid them because we want to be politically correct. And we kind of say, you know, well, oh, we can't read that because, you know, that's not very complimentary. It's like we want everybody to win, you know, in this day and age, you know, they're all saying, well, we're going to give a ribbon to everybody because everybody's winners. Well, you know, it's not always that way. There's some people better and some people aren't. But, you know, we want to follow the truth. And the truth sometimes digs a little. Sometimes it hurts a little. It's like going to the doctor, you know, I always hated that, and I think most of us are the same way, you know, because they hurt you. You know, sometimes they poke things in you, and I remember I had kidney stones, I had to go up to the VA, and they tried about 10 times to find the vein. And I was a little dehydrated, so I understood it. And the girl, she was so apologetic, and she said, "I'm so sorry." I said, "Hey, you can't learn unless you keep trying." And so I let her poke about five or six times, and she was so embarrassed. and another lady came in, tried on the other arm, and they finally called somebody else in, and they found it. But you know, sometimes it takes a little pain to get healed. Sometimes it takes a little hurt to get better. And so I want us to look at these scriptures with open eyes. Maybe not necessarily you, but you know, this is what can happen. It's chapter 12 and verse 4. Chapter 12, verse 4 starts out, and it says, you know, this one you like. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Isn't that great? But a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Wives, you have a choice. You know, you can be a wife of noble character and compliment your husband. Or you can be a disgraceful wife and be like decay in his bones. What do you want for your husband? That's a big question. You know, what do you want for your husband? Now, I'm praying that you want the good things for your husband, not the bad things. And so it goes on. Let's look at chapter 19. Chapter 19 in Proverbs. And verse 13 through 14. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. I hope that you don't want to be a constant dripping. You know, because that's a problem. I don't know if you've had leaky faucets in your house or a leak in the roof that's dripping. And that's what this is referring to. I pray that you want to be a prudent wife, a prudent mom. That's from the Lord. But that constant dripping, a quarrelsome, a difficult wife to live with, you know, she would be. The chapter 21 in Proverbs, in verse 9, it says, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. You know, I know that in the world there are some women that fit this category. And there are husbands that are wanting to live in the corner of the roof. You know, but that shouldn't be. According to God's Word, and we're going to get to that, wives should be noble and should be honorable. Chapter 21, verse 19 continues with that same thought. It's better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. You know, I'm sharing these things because I want us to understand that there is an opposite side to all the, you know, greatness that can be. I want us to understand that wives are called to complement and to be a comfort and a joy in the relationship. Proverbs 27 and verses 15 and 16, last of the of those scripture verses, chapter 27, verse 15 and 16. The quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. You can't work with it. You know, what kind of woman, what kind of wife, what kind of mother do you want to be? That's the big question. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a wife where people are running away from you? Where you know, everybody is looking out the window, hey, mom's coming home. Oh my gosh. And they run out the back door. Do you want to be the wife where the husband goes, man, the desert looked good right about now? You know, Or do you want to be the one who's respected and honored? One that when they see mom coming home, they go, oh, mom's coming home, yeah! The Bible talks about virtue, honor, goodness, faithfulness, devotion, and wisdom. I don't know if you've struggled with that or not, but if you're struggling with that, it's the world's philosophy that calls you to be something that you shouldn't be. The world has this idea that you've got to fight for your rights. No one is going to respect you unless you start yelling and maybe use profanities in the midst of it. You have to assert yourself. You have to get aggressive to get what you want. That's what the world teaches. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches something different. The Bible teaches that we need to be godly. That as a woman, you need to be a godly woman and a godly mother. In fact, look at, well, all the way back at in chapter 1 of Proverbs. Chapter 1 in Proverbs. And verse 7. 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Do you want to be a fool? I don't think anybody wants to be a fool. I mean, no you don't. You say that, but you don't. You know, that's the thing. A person doesn't want to be a fool. They want to be smart. They want to be considered someone to listen to. You know, when I'm out talking with people, I don't want them to look at me and go, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I want people to respect me. I want people to respect you. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you fear the Lord, if you put Him first, you'll be considered wise. Don't follow the world. Follow Him. Now, we're going to get to chapter 31 in Proverbs. Chapter 31. It starts in verse 10, and it talks about a wife of noble character. Now, I don't believe that this is a perfect woman. I don't believe that there's any perfect women, nor are there any perfect men, okay, other than Jesus. That was it. So this is not talking about a perfect woman, but it is a woman of noble character. A wife of noble character. Who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Now, I want to point out that even back in this day, it was difficult to find her. A woman of noble character, a wife of noble character was difficult to find. She's difficult to find because the world, sin, and they're quarrelsome or they have their issues that they bring in to a relationship. And so here it's talking about a noble character. Now, what is that? Verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. You know, it's not like the husband going home wondering what it's going to be like. I'm thinking, I wonder what I'm going to find at home. He has full confidence. When he goes to work or when he goes wherever, he knows that everything's going to be taken care of. Everything's good. Now, not that he leaves everything in her lap. He does things too. But this, we're talking about the wife. The wife of this husband, he doesn't have to worry about the household. He doesn't have to worry about the kids. He doesn't have to, you know, most women, they worry about the kids when they're with the dad. They don't worry about, you know, we don't worry about our kids with the mom. Should have full confidence. And they lack nothing of value. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously, your arms are strong for attack. You know, doesn't, you know, Scripture, a lot of times we think that the Scripture promotes a woman that stays at home. Sometimes it's good for a woman to stay at home. But a woman works outside the home too. This woman did. And she goes out and she works vigorously. She's a hard worker. You know, and she does it to supply for the family. Verse 23. Look at verse 23. Her husband is respected in the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Now, this doesn't happen if it would be a quarrelsome wife or a ill-respected not a good wife. If he didn't have a wife that supported him, if he didn't have a wife who was noble, of noble character, he wouldn't be sitting at the city gate. He wouldn't be there because it'd be a disaster for him. Wives have a key role. Moms have a key role in the home, along with the husband. Verse 26. So she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She speaks with wisdom. When the kids are doing things, whatever they might be doing, she speaks to them with wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. Instruction is on her tongue. She knows what to say to them. She's raising them up in the Lord. You know, this is an important point, I think. You know, when kids are coming home all the time, you know, this happened at school, or I got a bully, or you know, I don't know what to do about this, or I don't know. And the godly woman, she has wisdom, and she pulls out the Scriptures. She says, well, let's look at what God has to say about this. Let's pray about this together. Let's share what we can do better. How we can maybe lead that person, if it's a bully, maybe we can lead him to Christ. You know, maybe there's something else that needs to be done. But finding the wisdom and the instruction in God's Word. And she raises them up that way, along with the husband. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, idleness, you see a lot of that today. This idleness where, you know, and I just can't even believe, on the computers for 24 hours it seems like, you know, computer, watching everything that's going on. And I don't want to put down the you know, Facebook stuff and whatever, but you know what we're having in this world right now? We're having this massive, falling apart of the family. Because, well, what happened? Well, she ran away with some guy she met on the internet. What are you going to do? I don't know. She left me and the kids. You see that over and over again. Guys aren't immune to it. Guys are doing it too. But this idleness is the problem. What did mom and dad used to tell us back in the day? Idleness is the devil's workshop. You know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, the world's gone nuts. You see, I couldn't. We watched the news in like a week. It seemed like three or four school teachers seducing their students. And even the guys, you know, you could kind of figure guys with a pretty teenager or whatever. But this is the women. You never heard of that before. Of course, when I was a kid, we didn't have any good-looking teachers anyway. But the issue is, you know, these teachers, what are they thinking? And we even watched one, they were interviewing her, and she didn't think anything was wrong. She thought what was wrong was everybody's reaction. And I thought, something has gone crazy in this world now. You know, things have gotten flipped somehow. You know, I know the reason why. I know you know. Because we've gotten away from Scripture. This nation has fallen. Verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. When's the last time that ever happened to you? I don't know of anybody that's ever had that happen. You know, I mean, it should. You children, you know, especially on Mother's Day. I know Mother's Day you get a card and all this other stuff. But I think, wouldn't that be fantastic if your kid got up in the morning and said, Mom, I love you and thank you and bless, God bless you for taking care of me and sacrificing for me. Wouldn't that be, I mean, moms would pass out. It'd be 911 would be flooded. My mom just passed out. And for husbands, I know, you know, the husbands, you compliment your wives, you know, off and on, and give them cards around Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or whatever. You know, but wouldn't it be great? You wake up and say, oh, I'm so glad you're my wife. I need to do that more. Embarrass you, yeah. But that's what needs to happen, because that is what you have to value what you have. And children, arise and call her blessed. Wouldn't that be fantastic? As it continues on in verse 30, you know, we had that up on the screen. Charm and deceptive, or charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But women who fear the Lord, or who fears the Lord, is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the encapsulation of what a godly wife is all about. You know, charm, it comes and goes. I mean, it can't always be charming. And sometimes there's people who are charming and they aren't really charming. I've heard that before where, you know, well, you don't know her at home. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. You know, you're not all models. And thank God, because we were watching the news the other day, and they had some lady walking with this other guy, and she was older, and she had something done to her, and it was like, you know, she was disfigured because she was trying to be young again, and they stretched the skin back and all this other stuff, and it was like, oh, something went wrong. You know, beauty is fleeting. But have you ever walked up to somebody and been talking to them, and it's just like they are the most beautiful person you've ever been talking to? And they're not really that handsome. I mean, they're not like the model or the person in the magazine or anything, but they're beautiful inside. They've got a character that is way beyond the surfacey part of what the world says. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, and then you meet them and they're the most horrible person you've ever met. My friend in Colorado, he drives limousine for people, and he gets these different actors and actresses that come in, and he drives them around, and he tells me about them. He says, well, that actress there, she's the most stuck up person you ever know. Oh, that one there, she's pretty nice. Or this guy here, musician, he's the neatest guy. You know, he treats you just like your family. You know, or this guy, he's got to have his entourage all, you know, his posse, and he's not that great. And, you know, and all that. Wouldn't it be great if we all were just devoted to the Lord and beautiful on the inside? A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Praise God for godly women. You cannot replace them. because they've put something in you that you can't buy, that the world doesn't preach, and it's something more valuable than rubies, more valuable than gold, to have a godly woman, a godly mother. And that's what I challenge you to be today, is a godly mom, one who, when people pass by, they go, "Oh, how are you doing?" They want to talk to you, and they want to learn, they want to hear what you have to say, and your kids are the same way. They don't want to run away from you, they want to be there. Wouldn't that be great? I want us to close with this final song. It's time to close. Since Jesus came into my heart, and that goes for all you moms, that's where the change comes. It says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have a light in my soul for which long I've sought since Jesus came into my heart. Let's all stand and sing the first and last verses.
What a wonderful change in